Welcome to Hope for Today, a weekly Bible teaching program that will bring you hope for every day. Hello. So glad we can be together again for another lesson from the precious Word of God. In the Bible, way back in the beginning, we have the account of creation. Not one of us was there, and we don't know for sure how it unfolded. We believe and have faith in God's Word. People who reject this account of creation have faith in some other event that explains where we came from. Since they also were not there, they must place their faith in something other than the Bible. One believes the Bible, the other does not. But both of them have faith. Have you ever wondered what exactly is faith? Or are there different levels of faith? Good questions. In today's lesson, we have several examples of faith, some good and some not as good. Turn to Mark 9, and J. Mark will lead us as we think about different kinds of faith.
One prominent theme of the New Testament Gospels is Jesus' invitation for people to place their faith in Him, and Mark's Gospel that we've been studying is no exception. Our text for this episode highlights a dramatic illustration of faith that is coupled with the power of God. It's the testimony of a distraught father, and it resonates with us, especially when our faith seems weak. Our study is titled, Lord, I Believe. This dramatic illustration will be a powerful guide for understanding and strengthening your faith. So here is Mark chapter 9, beginning with verse 14. And when he came to his disciples, he saw a great multitude around them and scribes disputing with them. Immediately when they saw him, all the people were greatly amazed, and running to him, greeted him. And he asked the scribes, "What are you discussing with them?" Then one of the crowd answered and said, "Teacher, I brought you my son who has a mute spirit, and whenever it seizes him, it throws him down. He foams at the mouth, gnashes his teeth, and becomes rigid. So I spoke to your disciples that they should cast it out, but they could not." Jesus answered him and said, "O faithless generation, how long shall I be with you? How long shall I bear with you? Bring him to me." Then they brought him to Jesus. And when he saw him, immediately the spirit convulsed him, and he fell on the ground and wallowed, foaming at the mouth. So Jesus asked his father, "How long has this been happening to him?" And he said, "From childhood. And often he has thrown him both into the fire and into the water to destroy him. But if you can do anything, have compassion on us and help us." Jesus said, "If you can believe, all things are possible to him who believes." Immediately the father of the child cried out and said with tears, "Lord, I believe. Help my unbelief." When Jesus saw that the people came running together, he rebuked the unclean spirit, saying to it, "Deaf and dumb spirit, I command you, come out of him and enter him no more." Then the spirit cried out, convulsed him greatly, and came out of him. And he became as one dead, so that many of the people said, "He is dead." But Jesus took him by the hand and lifted him, and he arose. And when he had come into the house, his disciples asked him privately, "Why could we not cast it out?" So he said to them, "This kind can come out by nothing but prayer and fasting." This record of Jesus casting out a demon reveals several kinds of faith, and these kinds of faith are present in my journey and yours today. The first kind of faith we observe is weak faith. As Jesus and the three disciples are coming down from the mountain, they notice this huge crowd that's gathered around the other nine disciples. And they see that the Jewish scribes are arguing with them about something. What a contrast between the glorious scene on the mountain and this dark, grief-filled scene that they are now facing. When the people in the crowd saw Jesus coming, they were amazed, and it says they ran to greet him. Turning to the scribes, Jesus asked them, "What are you arguing about with my disciples?" It's at that point that a desperate father steps out from the crowd and he speaks to Jesus at this precise moment. "Teacher, I have brought to you my son. He has a mute spirit. Whenever and wherever the spirit seizes him, It convulses and throws him down. He foams at the mouth. He grinds his teeth and he becomes rigid. I ask your disciples to cast it out, but they couldn't. Mark chapter 6 tells us that the disciples cast out many demons before this. So what's happening here? I want you to notice what Jesus says next. O faithless generation, how long shall I be with you? How long shall I bear with you? Jesus' disciples were most likely the focus of this reproof. His use of the word, oh, shows his disappointment at them. Now, they were not faithless in the sense of being treacherous, but their faith was weak. It was inadequate to meet the need that was before them. We can ask Jesus' question in today's language, how long must I be with you and put up with your lack of faith? Can you sense the exasperation in Jesus' words? And I wonder, would Jesus have similar questions for me and for you? We too have seen Jesus' power demonstrated many, many times, and yet we often lack faith in his ability and in his willingness. I praise God, there is a remedy for weak faith. Like the characters in our text, we can grow. We can grow into that following kind of faith. And that kind of faith is seeking faith. So after he rebuked his disciples, Jesus says, "Bring the boy to me." When the evil spirit in the boy saw Jesus, he immediately exhibited the symptoms that the Father had described. The glorious power of Christ that was seen on the mountain is now clashing head-on with the powers of darkness. Jesus addressed the boy's case just like a doctor would. How long has this been happening? And then the father said it started in childhood. The demon often tried to destroy the boy. What a tragic situation. Try to imagine the emotion in these scenes. See this father's distress and hear his cry for help. If you can do anything, have compassion on us and help us immediately. Can you hear the desperation in his voice? He's at his wit's end. He's begging Jesus to do anything. Oh, I find it so interesting that Jesus repeats the Father's words. He says, if you can, back to the Father, if you can believe, all things are possible for the one who has faith. He's challenging the Father's faith. Oh, and I love the Father's response. Lord, I believe. Help my unbelief. His father had faith, but he confessed that it was weak, and he wanted more. I've never experienced the trauma of a demon-possessed child, but I want God to strengthen my faith continually, and I hope that's your desire too. But you know that will only happen when you and I come to the end of ourselves and realize that Jesus is our only hope. The faith of the men who brought the boy to Jesus and the distraught father seeking faith resulted in another kind of faith. I've called it healing faith. When Jesus saw that the crowd was quickly gathering, he rebuked the unclean spirit. He said, "Deaf and mute spirit, I command you to come out of him and never enter him again." Notice, Jesus addressed the demon, not the boy. And Jesus was not merely indulging popular belief in superstition. Today, many would diagnose a person like this as having a mental illness. And while there are legitimate diagnoses of mental illness, many cases are rooted in deep spiritual needs like this one. In this case, Jesus regards the demon as the cause of the boy's misfortune, and he gives a direct command. After crying out and convulsing the boy violently, the evil spirit came out of him. It left him lifeless, like a dead person. In fact, some of the people looking on said, "He's dead." But Jesus took him by the hand and lifted him up, and he got up. Again, imagine the emotions of the father and the son. What are they experiencing? Instead of the tortured relationship between them because of the demonic power and their inability to communicate with each other, now there's joy and laughter. There's mutual love. There's acceptance. Shame has been banished. Healing has been given. Now, we don't know how old this boy was, but this was a long-term condition that was reversed. We can hardly identify with the magnitude of this change unless we've had a similar experience. And yet, you know, in a measure, this is the experience of every genuinely born-again believer. Because before our rescue by Christ, we are all under the control of Satan. And even though we may have wanted to change, we were powerless to do it alone. Then, as it were, someone metaphorically stepped out of the crowd and took us to Jesus. When we met him, sin's shackles were broken, and you and I were set free. This dramatic demonstration of Jesus' power made the 9 disciples question their failure. And that question leads us to the final kind of faith. I've called it misplaced faith. After this fantastic event was over, and Jesus was alone with the 12, they asked him, "Why were we not able to cast out the demon?" Jesus responded, "This kind of demon cannot come out except by prayer and fasting." Their earlier success in casting out demons may have encouraged them to believe that they could do it at any time and any place they chose. But that was a mistake. The disciples may have failed to understand their need for a continual connection to Jesus' power. Perhaps their neglect of prayer caused a loss of power. Jesus mentioned that, and they had too much faith in themselves and too little faith in Christ. Oh, that's a valuable lesson for them and for us, because how much we are like them. We underestimate the power of evil in our world and ourselves, and how easily we forget that without Him, we can do nothing. The difficulty of miracles isn't the lack of God's power. It's often the difficulty of our belief. Doubt seems to be in the very air we breathe, and the moral and spiritual characteristics of our age, the time we live in, are not conducive to faith. And yet, as you and I learn from this account, as great as these difficulties are, they are far from impossible. All things are possible with God and to us if we dwell on what is eternal, infinite, and visible, and are thoroughly filled and controlled with the Spirit of God. Have you confessed, along with this desperate father, "Lord, I believe, help my unbelief"? If you have, then you are exercising a kind of faith that God can bless and honor. That doesn't mean all your desires will be met, but you can trust God to move you from weak faith to seeking faith to healing faith, and then to a renewed awareness of your complete dependence on Him. He will provide everything you need. I trust you will find it so in your life.
Which faith best describes your faith? Are you growing stronger in your faith, or is your faith becoming weaker? I like how this example shows us real people who have varying levels of faith. It is also noteworthy how Jesus interacts with each person. Jesus, always wise and understanding, meets each one where they are and encourages greater faith in Him. This is what He is still doing. No matter where we are in our journey of faith, His desire is to meet us there and take us deeper. He wants to see our faith in Him increase. If you have any questions or want to contact us for any reason, please do. You can contact us by email or online. Our email address is hope@heraldsofhope.org, and our website is heraldsofhope.org. Go to the Partner tab on the top right. Under this tab is the Contact Us. From there, you can message us directly. We look forward to hearing from you soon. Thanks so much for joining us for this lesson. One of the clearest definitions of faith is in Hebrews chapter 11, verse 1. One translation says it this way: faith is the confident assurance that something we want is going to happen. It is the certainty that what we hope for is waiting for us, even though we cannot see it up ahead. May we tell Jesus the same thing the Father in our lesson said: "Lord, help my unbelief."